Spin 103.8, you're welcome back to Spin Talk with Lauren. We've been talking about fur farming here in Ireland and hearing your thoughts on it. And to join me now on the show from Bernardo Furriers is Caroline Bernardo. Hi, Caroline. You're very welcome to Spin Talk.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Caroline, just talk to me a bit about Bernardo Furriers and what you do.
Yeah, Bernardo Furriers were established in 1812 by Dr. Bernardo, the charity's father. And we keep a very high standard and make sure that all the animals we get and everything is properly looked after. They're all farmed.
Okay. Now, we've been talking today mainly about three mink farms that have been brought to the public's attention because of a letter that was written to the Taoiseach asking for a ban on fur farming. Mm. What's your reaction to that, Caroline?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. Then why not ban ordinary farming? You know, our Lord gave us the animals for our use, not abuse. And I can assure you the animals are well looked after because I'm a farmer's daughter. And I can assure you as a child, the animals came first because unlike me, I can say I'm sick. The animals can't. So when my brother would go out, he would see an animal with the skin is not looking good, their hair is not looking good, their eyes, and he knows they're sick. And they would get a priority. He mightn't get eating for a whole day because he had to look after an animal. That the farmers care for their animals.
And how does the farming work, Caroline? Are there inspections carried out? How is it ensured that the animals are taken care of?
Inundated with inspections from the Veterinary Society. But the farmer himself is interested in having his animal right. But there are huge amount of regulations, which is good. I'm all in favour of it because I don't believe any animal should be misused.
Another thing a lot of people have an issue with is when the argument is made that animals are killed humanely. You know,
absolutely. They are so kind to them. They're just pushed to sleep.
With an injection or how are they put?
Yes, well, no, that's yes, the farmers, but yes.
Okay.
Like I having an injection when I'm having a tooth out.
Okay. Sometimes when we have these discussions, Caroline, people will get in touch and claim to have seen certain videos, undercover footage of farms in Ireland and in other countries.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe that's why people are so against farming?
Well, yes, because they're given the wrong information. Because there's no way an animal will live if it's badly treated. So, you know, it's a total hype. It says they, you need to go and see it and save. All the farmers here are very united in making sure their animals have the best because they can't sell them if they haven't got the best quality.
Yeah, you mentioned at the start at Bernardo Furriers, you know, you have a certain standard.
Yes.
So if the animal is in bad condition, the fur will be in bad condition.
Yes, and therefore we're not interested.
Okay, is it a very lucrative industry?
No, quite the reverse.
Really?
Absolutely. That's what people have an idea that it makes a fortune. It's really and truly you have to have a love of it, and that's why we have the sixth generation here, and it's pure that they love their. But if they wanted to make money, it's the last thing they would do.
That's very interesting to hear, Caroline.
Yeah. And people think a fur coat is thousands, and it's not. We have garments from 300 or 400 up. Everything's made in-house, and as I say, it's a totally different.
So look, Caroline, it's really interesting to hear, I suppose, your side of things, you know, working in the industry. You must feel like you are constantly having to defend what
it
is you do.
I don't feel, you know, it's just unfortunately a lack of education and think it's wealth. And I say, no, it's only an intelligent woman buys a fur coat because it lasts 20, 30 years. And when she's tired of it, she can come and have us remake it to whatever style she likes. And B, she can dig a hole and feed the worms. The synthetics don't degrade for 150 years. Plus, they're made by poor, unfortunate kids in the Far East, under 12.
Oh, the faux fur.
The faux fur is so dangerous for the environment.
Caroline, really appreciate you coming on Spin
today.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
As expected, lots of people have opinions on fur farming and some of what Caroline Bernardo had to say about fur and the work that she does. It's an industry she's been working in, her family's been involved in for years. So, listen, I just would ask that we make this maybe less about Caroline and more about, you know, some of the issues around fur farming because we are getting in a lot of messages. I'm on 087 711 1038. Tawny has been in touch and she's on the line now. Hi, Tawny.
Hi.
Tawny, I understand you're from the National Animal Rights Association.
Yeah, I'm an animal rights activist and I visited these fur farms a few times now.
Okay, I mentioned there's three mink farms in Ireland currently. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so, and Caroline did say that there is a lot of inspections carried out and they are quite open because they have to be.
Well, she actually doesn't know anything about fur farming. I think she told you that these animals are injected or euthanized and that's how they're killed. They're actually not killed that way. She is not a fur farmer and she doesn't know anything about how they're killed or kept.
Well, she did, to be fair, when I asked her that question directly, she did say, well, look, you'd have to speak to the farmer. So,
yeah.
Okay, so how did you visit the three farms here in Ireland?
Well, our group has protests outside of these fur farms once a month during the winter season.
Okay. So you've been outside?
Yes, we've been outside. I haven't been inside the fur farm. But
okay.
We've also gotten FOI documents as well about these inspections and how they are killed. So I do know quite a lot about these fur farms.
So how are the animals killed? Because I think that's something that is of great interest to people.
Yeah, they're gassed to death.
Okay.
By CO2.
Okay. One by one, collectively?
One by one.
One by one. And what do you know of the conditions that they're living in, Tawny?
They're kept in these wire cages. They're really filthy, actually, and they're kept outside no matter what season so that their fur grows thicker. And they are also, you can keep up to 4 in one cage alone, and these cages are really small. They're also driven insane by being together all the time because mink are actually solitary animals. They're also semi-aquatic animals and would spend a lot of their time near water in their life, and the only water that they're getting is through a drip, like a hamster water bottle thing.
Talk to me a bit about the inspections that are carried out then, because I can't understand that if the Veterinary Association are carrying out inspections, if they're okay with it, like what's the criteria that the farmers have to meet?
Well, from the FOI documents that we got into recently, they're a bit odd to say because what the language these vets are using is they're saying that these mink seem happy, and it doesn't seem like an actual thing a vet would say. We are looking into that right now.
So you are questioning whether or not an actual vet?
Yeah, I feel like it's probably people who actually know the fur farmers who are writing them off and saying, oh yeah, this is grand, because...
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that, Tawny, because I think if it is, you know, and as we heard Caroline say, you know, they want to make sure the fur they're getting is in good condition and that the animals are taken care of. You know, I don't know if a mink farmer could just forge a document on behalf of the Veterinary Association. I think
you'd be surprised if you look at the documents, the FOI documents that we have on our website. These fur farmers actually train themselves to do fur farming as well. They don't actually have a course that is funded by the government or anything like that. They teach themselves. They're self-taught fur farmers.
Okay, so as you mentioned, you're going off these Freedom of Information documents. They're up on your website if people would like to find out. I'm just trying to look at this as balanced as possible, Tawny, because of course, as an animal rights activist, you are going to be, you know, quite strong in your views. It's Caroline's business. She feels quite strongly the way she feels. So we're just trying to meet in the middle and understand, I suppose, exactly what goes on with the inspections. But I do really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming on. That's Tawny there. She's from the National Animal Rights Association. She has been outside each of the three mink farms here in Ireland. They hold protests once a month. If this is something you're interested in, absolutely head over to the website, read the documents, decide for yourself, I suppose, what you think. I would find it very hard to believe that those documents could just be signed off by anyone. If there's inspections carried out, there's inspections carried out. But look, I want to hear your thoughts on fur farming in general today. And what would you make of the argument that, look, if you're wearing faux fur, that's actually worse for the environment because it takes 150 years to disintegrate, as Caroline argued. And there is children in factories making this kind of material. And actually with real fur, you know, you can plant it in the ground and it'll go back to nature. Do you buy that argument? 087 711 1038. Elaine is on the line. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, Lauren, how are you?
Good, thank you very much. Your thoughts on fur farming, Elaine?
Well, I only just caught the end of the conversation, but when I heard the caller talking about, you know, humanely killing the animals, and that's one thing that I have to come to terms with. Like, I'm vegetarian since January, and when people say, you know, I'm happy eating meat or eggs as long as the animal's been treated right and treated with respect. But, you know, when you look at it in the way that no animal wants to die, that they're all sentient beings, they feel fear, they feel compassion, they feel things, it's still not right to kill an animal. And people give the example of, you know, you have your dog and your pet that you love and treat well their whole life. You're not going to then go kill your dog. Like, that's not just, you can't, that's not ethical. And people would think that you are a monster for doing that. So to justify killing any animal for food or for fur, just because you've treated them with respect, like, that doesn't do it for me whatsoever. Okay. I think most people would agree that it's a terrible thing to do, and the animals do want to live. They're not a commodity. So
your argument would be, it doesn't matter how you're killing the animal, you shouldn't be killing it in the first place.
Exactly. Like, whether it's for food or fur or, you know, dairy, I feel like it's just for our entertainment. There is no way to kill an animal for our entertainment or for our use. Whether it doesn't matter how much you love the animal or treat it with respect, no animal wants to die. So once you kind of realise that, and any time I hear about humanely killing or anything like that, it just really angers me, because they're a living being. So I just can't come to terms with any way of killing an animal.
What did you make of the argument, Elaine, of that Caroline made about, you know, the faux fur, the synthetic stuff? Like, that is actually even worse for the environment. Would you wear faux fur?
No, I actually don't wear any fur. Like, I might have like a little bit of fur on the top of my hat or something, but I'd be more conscious about it. But even like if you go away from fur, and like, let's say I read an article in the Irish Times the other day that was talking about veganism, and someone said, oh sure, you know, by the time you use all the land and resources to grow soya beans, like, you're taking away land and soya beans from starving people. But it's like, you're using so much less resources doing fake fur or non-dairy milks than the resources that you're using to bring up these animals or feed these animals. Like, the amount of water, grain, land, grass that they feed on or that okay. they consume is so much worse for the environment,
okay.
I would argue.
Thank you
yeah.
for that, Elaine. Lovely to speak to you today.
Okay, thanks.
Lots of messages coming in on this one. And just before I go to Lisa, who I know is waiting on the line, Bren says, yes, completely ban all new fur trade. If you want real fur, you're a prize idiot. So there is a lot of arguments today against fur, but Robbie says, no, it shouldn't be banned. If the animal is bred for its fur, then so be it. Just like other animals that are bred to be slaughtered for food, not like they're being hunted like the rhino. And in the past, we have talked about the way we can view different animals. I know, like, as Elaine said, you shouldn't kill any animal, but not everyone feels that way. Some people feel there are animals that it's okay to kill them, it's okay to eat them. But something like a rhino, an elephant, a lion, these more majestic animals that are just being hunted as trophies, that's not okay. So, you know, Robbie feels if it's being bred just to eat or to wear as fur, that's okay in his eyes. Ali says, my friend's aunt is involved in the industry, and my friend told me the animals are treated really well. They're killed humanely, probably more humanely than cattle and sheep. It's the exact same thing. It's actually embarrassing how defensive people get over something that they don't know anything about. If you don't like the idea of fur farming, you shouldn't eat any meat or dairy either. And what about leather? Irish people are the biggest hypocrites. Well, that comes from Ali. And would you feel as strongly as Ali that, you know, well, look, if you're against fur farming, then no leather, no drinking milk in your tea. Like, you're either in or you're out. 087 711 1038. Get involved in the conversation. I would love to hear what you think. Lisa is next. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Lisa, what's your opinion on fur farming?
Well, I think it's really wrong. I think it's really, really cruel, and I think it's unnecessary. I think it's very sad that people can think that they can keep animals, take away all the natural behaviours, keep them in cages, and then kill them to rip their fur off their back when we don't need to. We've got plenty of other stuff we can use. We don't need their fur. They do need their fur. So I think it's really wrong.
Okay, so would you feel that for things that in your view are unnecessary, it's cruel, but is there anything that you think is necessary, Lisa? Like, do you eat meat? Do you drink milk?
No, I don't. I'm vegan.
Okay, so as I was saying just a moment ago before I spoke to you, you're either in or you're out, and you're out completely. Like, you've nothing
absolutely.
To do with animals.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they weren't put on this planet for us to use and abuse. And
okay.
it's very, very sad, and we need to kind of people need to take their blinkers off and see what's going on. A lot of people don't realise what's going on, or they're too busy with their life. But there's more of awareness coming out, which is great. And people need to know it's not just fur farms, it's factory farms, it's how all the animals are treated all over the world, and change is happening.
How do you feel, Lisa, about people who get angry about fur, but yet they'll wear a leather jacket or they'll eat meat?
Well, you see, they mightn't just be aware. I mean, it takes time. People don't realise what's going on. And the awareness is, you know, people are becoming more aware now, as I say, through social media, through our activism work, through newspapers, through radio stations. So change is happening.
How long have you been vegan, Lisa?
I'm vegan about 3 years, and I'm vegetarian. I was vegetarian 30 years before that.
Okay. So yeah. You've always felt quite strongly about animal rights.
I did. Yeah, I did. Since a child, I didn't even know. I had no idea what was happening, but just it was never right to me. I couldn't eat animals. It was just it was never, ever right. But I had no idea how cruel the dairy industry is, how cruel it is for leather and stuff. I only learned that about 3 years ago, and since then I've become vegan, and I try and let people know as much as I can.
Lisa, I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good
Bye.
To speak to you today. Well, as I said, you're either in or you're out, in some people's opinion, and Lisa is absolutely out. You know, it's not just fur farming, it's the dairy industry. It's fashion, it's food, it's everything for Lisa. She's vegan and feels very strongly about it and does feel that there is more awareness. I definitely feel in my time on Spin Talk, there has been this movement towards veganism. We've spoken many times about veganism on Spin Talk, and every time we talk about it, there seems to be more and more people, more and more messages in about certain documentaries, more awareness, as Lisa said. Is it just fur farming for you, or is it across the board? 087 711 1038. Lots of you getting involved in the conversation. I would like to hear your thoughts. Is there a place for fur farming? Do you buy Caroline's argument that it's better for the environment than the synthetic stuff? Laura is on the line. Hi, Laura.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming on, Laura. I keep kind of going back to a point that was made by the furrier we spoke to a little earlier on, Caroline Bernardo, who said that in her opinion, wearing fur actually makes more sense because the synthetic faux fur stuff is worse for the environment, and there's children in factories making that kind of stuff, that actually fur makes more sense. What do you make of that argument?
It's absolutely ridiculous, and it's typical of something she would say. I mean, her own business provides a rechemicaling and freezer service for furs. Basically, fur decomposes because it is animal fur, you know, it's attached to a leather base. And in the summer months, it starts to decompose and it starts to smell. So in Bernardo Furs on Grafton Street, they actually have freezer services where they redouse these coats and chemicals and put them in freezers over the summer to try and keep them intact. And that is a huge amount of chemicals. And it's nowhere near as environmentally friendly as she's trying to say that it is. I mean, faux fur, you know, it's produced, it is synthetic, it's, you know, there's chemicals involved, but it's a once-off. Whereas to keep the same fur coat you might have for 10 years, it's rechemicaling this every single summer to try and just keep it intact. So that's ridiculous, first of all. And she is not a fur farmer. She doesn't know how the fur industry in Ireland even works, so she cannot comment on how the animals are treated.
Okay, Laura, this is obviously something you feel very, very strongly about. Are you just against fur farming, or like we've been hearing from many, we've had a few listeners on who are vegan, who have no time for anything that comes from animals. Where are you on that?
Well, I'm vegan, and, you know, to me, all suffering is equal. But even people who are not vegan, I think, can recognise that fur is a luxury goods industry. In Ireland, we do not need a fur coat to stay warm. It is a separate industry to anything in itself. People who are not vegan tend to believe that we need to eat animals to survive. Now, that is not the case, and that's a whole different issue. But most people can recognise we do not need a fur coat to survive. And that's the difference. And that's why vegans and non-vegans alike can get on board with this issue.
John has texted in, Laura. I just want to read you out this message because we have got a few messages like this, and if you'd like to give your thoughts on it. John says, animals were put on the earth to be part of the circle of life, and it is the circle of life that animals eat each other. So are you going to sit a lion down and tell him that he can't eat a zebra because the zebra isn't there to be used and abused?
The thing with comments like that is it's missing the point entirely of nature. The lion has to eat a zebra to survive. Humans don't. We're in an age now where there are alternatives. And I ask anyone who thinks that it's natural to eat meat, when's the last time they walked up to a cow and tried to kill them with your bare teeth? It's not a thing. You know, we mass produce animals, we factory farm them, we have to kill them with machinery. Lions can take down animals in the wild with their claws and their teeth. Humans do not do that kind of thing. And in 2017, it's not necessary for anyone to live on animal diets.
Laura, really lovely to speak to you today. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your opinions.
No problem. Thank you.
What do you think of John's message and Laura's response to him? At the end of John's message also, and I didn't want to read it to Laura because it wasn't directed at her, he also said these people need to cop on. But I think Laura's answer would be the same to you, John, that you need to cop on. So where do you stand? As I mentioned earlier on, I do feel in the time that I've been presenting Spin Talk, every time we have this conversation, more and more people get in touch who are on Laura's side of the fence, who are vegan, are living the vegan lifestyle and feel it is completely unnecessary in 2017 to be eating meat. So is it something that maybe you have thought about? I've admitted before that there's certain documentaries I won't watch because I am afraid to educate myself on certain things. And maybe that's really ignorant of me. And that annoys you, but I am afraid to watch certain documentaries because I'm worried how it will change my opinion. You know, I'm kind of holding in there as long as I can. Sinead says, I wear fur, not all the time. I don't have loads, but I have the odd piece. It's the most natural clothing in the world. It's been used for thousands of years, and unlike synthetic clothes, they disintegrate naturally. Won't pollute the environment, and hundreds of poor kids don't have to work day and night in a factory to make them. These anti-fur people need to open their eyes and look at the bigger picture. That's the argument I put to Laura a few minutes ago, that that it makes more sense to buy fur. Laura argued that, said no, they're sprayed in chemicals. A message has come in just about Laura saying, well, if she says, since she's not a fur farmer, she doesn't know what she's talking about Caroline, for example, surely that applies to whoever's talking now. Lol. Well, to be fair to Laura, she didn't really talk about fur farming. Like, we've had lots of people getting in touch today about what they know about fur farms and their opinions on fur farms. Like, we had Tawny on earlier on who said, well, I've been to fur farms. She's been outside fur farms. So to be fair to Laura, she didn't really comment too much on fur farming itself. But thank you anyway for your point. Another listener says, they weren't put on this planet for us to eat. Funnily enough, they were. Well, that's a matter of perspective, according to some of our listeners. Niamh says, sorry, no, this is not the same as meat farming. We need to eat. We do not need notions for coats and hats. I do understand that meat and dairy farming is controversial too, and I respect vegans for their dedication. I myself do eat meat and dairy. I personally believe it's necessary, but that's just my opinion. There's evidence to support both sides of that argument. However, there is no way you can justify there being a need for fur. Niamh, I think I'm with you. I think that is the message that closest reflects my opinion today. I'm a meat eater. I really respect vegans. My best friend's vegan. She is forever educating me. And like I said, there's things I won't watch and things I won't read. But I don't see the need for fur. You know, in 2017 in Ireland, we don't need fur to keep us warm. Catherine Wood joins me on the line now. She's an animal rights activist. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Lauren. How are you?
Good, thank you. Catherine, I think you've been on with me before. I know this is something you feel very strongly about.
I do, very, very strongly. And fur farms, the first thing I say to people is, why do people feel so ugly in their own skin that they have to wear another dead, abused animal skin?
I haven't heard that argument before, Catherine.
Yeah. So why would you feel so ugly that I would be so selfish that an animal would have to die, have a lifetime of suffering from being electronically inseminated to the time that they die? There's four of these little creatures kept in cages. They don't even have bedding. Their little paws bleed through the wire. Like, I just can't believe that people think it's okay. We have no need. We've evolved from cavemen. Cavemen had to go out and hunt animals. They also had a lot of fruit and veg. And they wore bear skins to keep alive and, you know, animal skins and everything. We don't need to do that. We've evolved from cavemen, the same as people who condone eating meat and animals. Watch Cowspiracy, watch Earthlings. They speak for themselves. All my clients who come to me, they watch the video once for about 3 minutes. they all go veggie overnight, and in time they go vegan.
I was wondering, Catherine, about that. A lot of people feel that, listen, you're either in or you're out. If you're against one thing, you kind of need to be against it all, yeah, or at least do your very best to.
Yeah, well, if you're an animal lover, you don't eat them. You know, I love my rescue dogs, so I don't eat them. You know, I'm never going to eat my dogs or cats. What puts us ahead of Chinese people who eat their dogs and cats? Nothing. Irish people condone animal abuse, inseminated artificially by machines, satanically abused in the abattoirs. That's why so many people are sick. Like, doctors are now telling people, go vegan, you'll lose weight, you'll be healthy.
I know that is an argument a lot of people make, actually. I've heard that before. But what I wanted to ask you, Catherine, is because someone made the point before about, you know, rhinos and elephants, and that's a debate we've had on this show in the past about trophy hunting, because for some reason we think of certain animals as more important than other animals. Like, some people might feel it's okay to eat cow's meat, but you must not shoot an elephant. Why is that any different?
Well, no, I just think it's evolution and education. I think us activists are trying to educate people to think outside the box, to think before you eat something on your plate. Obviously, people who hunt animals are psychopaths. They need to get themselves to a psychiatrist because it's not right. They're hunting canned, they call it, animals, who are brought up very quietly and domestically. There's no aggression in these animals. They're starved. And then these psychopaths go and hunt them. Oh, my God. They need serious psychiatric help. It's not like hunting of years ago where men, cavemen, had to hunt to survive. These people are hunting docile, domestically reared animals for their sick, depraved pleasure. They should take up a man sport, take up boxing, get in the ring with another man, you know?
Catherine, just before I let you go, you mentioned two documentaries there if people want to find out more.
Yeah, anyone who eats meat, please think of what's on your plate. I reckon it'll be child abuse within 2 years to give your children processed meat. The World Health Federation has come out and said processed meat is giving people cancer. Please watch Cowspiracy and Earthlings. And please, while I'm on, a last thing, please do not buy from a breeder this Christmas. Rescue your pets.
Okay, Catherine, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Good to speak to you today. Cowspiracy and Earthlings, they're two documentaries, and I have to say, any time we have this discussion, those are two documentaries that get sent in. So I was saying earlier on, like, I can't bring myself to watch them. I am kind of afraid. I know that's ignorant, in some people's opinion, to not educate myself. I don't know. Is anyone else going to watch either of them tonight? I know at least one of them's on Netflix. Will we give it a lash tonight and see how we get on? I'm on 087 711 1038. Aoife says, if this ceases the suffering of animals that have no say in the matter, then 100%, absolutely no question about it, ban fur farming. Laura says, my friend came back from Canada with loads of real fur after a visit. I remember I was so disgusted. Couldn't believe she actually bought some. But then after watching her wear them for a year, I really began to like it and got her to buy me a scarf the next time she went. So I guess I'm a total hypocrite. I'd say most people are. If they're actually given a lovely fur hat and scarf or whatever, I'd say most people would take it. Well, do you have any real fur? If someone offered you gave you a present, would you turn your nose up at it? Elsie says people use real fur for one thing, to show off how loaded they are. Nothing else. They're knobs with too much money and a superiority complex. Ban it. That's Elsie's quite an extreme opinion. And Donal says, if the whole world went vegan tomorrow, we wouldn't survive, as it isn't sustainable for billions of people. It's all well and good being vegan, but the problem is every single vegan looks down and speaks down to everyone who's not, and that's becoming more and more common. Animals eat grass and turn it into meat. We in turn need the milk and the dairy, etc., to survive. Another point to make is if we all go vegan and stop farming, cows especially would nearly become extinct, as they wouldn't survive without the minding of farmers. Now listen, I'm no vegan, but I can hear the vegans arguing some of your points there, Donal. And I have to say, in the past, I have been quite harsh on some vegans on this show. And I have spoken to a few listeners, the Vegans, you'll find them on Instagram. They've been good enough. They're three girls who share loads of great places you can go and eat vegan food and get vegan bits and pieces. And I remember asking one of the girls on the show once, why is it that people think vegans are so smug? From everyone I've spoken today, and to be fair, the last few times we've talked about anything to do with farming, I haven't found any of the vegans that have come on this show condescending or snobby in any way. I've actually been really impressed, and I was particularly impressed today by Laura, how well she articulated her opinions. I think it's something that if people are passionate about and they want to learn more about, it's like anything, they're going to share it. And I don't know, that's just my experience maybe from having this conversation over the years on the show. I've been really impressed by some of the people. I've been quite unimpressed by some people as well. But more often than not, I'm really impressed by the efforts that people go to educate themselves. And just, I don't know if people would agree with all your points, Donal, but it's your opinion. So thank you very much for sending it in. Now, just about Caroline. Steph has been in touch on Facebook. Caroline is the furrier we spoke to at the beginning of the show. Caroline says, that woman is making my blood boil. These animals are killed humanely. They shouldn't be killed in the first place. For the sake of a poxy coat that generally looks awful anyway. And the faux fur ones are made by poor children with bleeding fingers in the Far East. If that's her argument, it's very poor. Where's the proof of that? I'm under no illusions to the fact it still happens in some places, but that was a very sweeping statement. No facts or statistics made for a very poor defence. Helen has been in touch to say, hi, I've been a vegetarian for a year now, and while I personally don't want to eat meat, I understand the circle of life. It's your choice to eat it. However, fur is unnecessary to the circle of life. I have been to a fur farm. This particular one was horrible. Small cages, the animals were severely overweight and the conditions were awful. It broke my heart. The idea of wearing another creature's skin just doesn't make any sense to me. Rachel says, hi Spin, I'm not vegan, but I'm an animal lover and I get emotional at the thought of cruelty to them. I tried veganism and the thing is, I'm allergic to a lot of plant-based foods. Oh, unlucky. I'm allergic to nuts and soya and I found it too difficult to stay vegan. However, there's absolutely no need for people to be wearing real fur. Okay, I'm going to end it on this one. I come from a culture where you only kill what you eat. The emphasis is also on making sure the animal doesn't suffer, and if you do hurt it, you can get into serious trouble with others. It's unacceptable at all to kill what you don't eat unless you're defending your life. I really want to know more from you. Sorry, if you could send in more information, just a bit about your culture, where it is that you're from, and just a bit more about that, because a bit of that is kind of cryptic. But thank you very much nonetheless for getting in touch. I've got to move on. There's still lots to come in the next hour on Spin Talk. Thank you so much for getting involved. I hope the conversation continues on the Spin 103.8 Facebook page. As always, just please be mindful and respectful of one another. Everyone is entitled to their opinion.